Good afternoon. Don't touch that dial. You know this voice. Hi, my name is Gregory T. Roberts, the host of the show, Torn Into, your show for news, information, and more for this February 25th, 2022. Weather outside, nice day for Michigan, about like 25 degrees. So get out there. My co-host, Pastor Melvin Burns, he is sick this week. I want to thank him for the great job that he did interviewing Rosa Higgs. That was a fantastic show. I pray that we'll be able to get her back on soon. If you're listening, thank you so much for listening. But if you would like to be a part of the conversation, you can do that by going to Facebook, 103.7 The Beat, or M106. Just a few things before I get our guest on. I want to say we have a lot of news that we need to talk about. Of course, Ukraine. We told you about Ukraine. We told you about Russia months ago. Months ago, before there was anyone at the border, we told you that that was a problem. And America, we have a problem. We'll talk more about that next week. Also, there was an announcement today of the Supreme Court. I'm just happy. A woman, qualified woman, and I'm going to be talking to my guests about that. Today's show is to talk about there's an election that's coming up. It can be a little difficult. Our job is to blow away the smoke and break the mirrors and make things clear to educate. With that said, I have the Honorable Chief Judge Gregory C. Pittman on and Attorney Brandon Davis. As we always say, put your hands together and clap and pass the plate, because we're about to bring you some knowledge. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
Doing good. Well.
Yeah. Guys, we have a lot to break down, so why don't we start with an introduction of yourself and let people know what you do in your service. Let's start with Chief Judge Gregory C. Pittman.
All right. Good to see you, G-Man. Good to see you, Brandon. Gregory C. Pittman, born and raised in the city of Muskegon Heights, class of 1979, last state championship, basketball championship brought to the city of Muskegon Heights.
Yay! Yay!
I would never have thought I would say that back in 79, that would be the last year that we would actually win a championship. I am currently serving in the capacity as Chief Judge of the 14th Circuit and the Muskegon County Probate Court. Those are two separate entities, and I'm Chief Judge of both of those, and have been on the bench since my appointment in 1998, and have served as a family court judge. That's the docket that I am responsible for. Even though I am a probate judge, I serve as a family court judge and will continue in that capacity in however things turn out during the course of this election. I will continue in that capacity.
Okay. Mr. Davis, how about you?
Sure. Thanks for having me. It's good to see both of you. I'm Brandon Davis. I am originally from the east side of the state. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and came to Muskegon in 2013 with my two beautiful daughters in tow. We moved here and became a part of this community. You all welcomed us with open arms, and we're grateful for that. I'm an attorney and have been one since 2010. I graduated from Wayne State University Law School, passed the bar that November, and began practicing immediately. And since that time, I've served in several different capacities. I was first in private practice in Detroit, then a prosecutor in the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office, which is one of the largest offices in the nation, definitely mm-hmm. the largest in the state. And when I started that work, I was thrown into a felony courtroom, and I haven't looked back since. I came to Muskegon in 2013 and was doing felony work there in the circuit court, the 14th Circuit Court. And I also do criminal justice reform work. So there was the inaugural Office of Oversight and Public Accountability, and I was appointed to be the director of that office, which means mm-hmm. that I work to bring police reform, I work to bring justice, I work to make sure that there's accountability around those issues. So that's me.
We, Moraine, already she's on, and a very fair moral judge at that. So you guys have fans out there. I want to talk to
let me say something, man. And I can speak for Brandon, especially coming from where he comes from, out of that prosecutor's office. Just keep looking, and you're gonna find some folks who's not thrilled about us.
For sure.
Wait a minute. I think it was you, Judge Pittman, that said somebody asked you by you being in Muskegon, if somebody came in front of you as a judge, if you said if they're a friend of mine, they would not put me in that position.
Yes, sir. If you're
a friend, I always remembered that.
If you're a friend of mine, stay out of my courtroom. if at all possible, stay out of that courtroom, and let's not put those things to the test.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, we have some, you guys have a wealth of information that Muskegon needs to hear, because there are two judge races, correct?
There are three.
There are three. Mm-hmm. So there are three. Break that down and explain to, one is a new seat and the two are retiree seats.
So why don't we do it this way? You got me and Brandon on. Why don't we let Brandon talk about what he is specifically running for as
sounds great
seats. I'll defer to Brandon here.
Well, thank you, Judge. I appreciate it. So the seat that I'm running for is a non-incumbent regular term seat. What that means is that the judge that was previously or that is currently in that seat is retiring. So Judge Marietti has served in the 14th Circuit Court for a number of years. Exactly.
Yeah.
And Judge Marietti has aged out or will age out this year, which means that he's no longer eligible to run for re-election. So he'll be retiring, and that is the seat I'm running for. So I'm running for an open seat without an incumbent judge. Mm-hmm. I'm recognizing that we need to have someone with experience, with compassion, and that understands our community to serve in that spot.
Okay. Chief Judge.
So let's talk about the seat I'm running for, and let's talk about the third seat, so there's a complete understanding of what's going on. Because mm-hmm. this is unprecedented for mm-hmm. Muskegon County, and it can be kind of murky and a little confusing. And we want to make sure that we bring clarity to this so people understand and have a legitimate opportunity to make a decision about who they want to serve on the bench here in Muskegon County. Mm-hmm. So the seat that I'm running for, as Brandon alluded to, or you alluded to, is a new judgeship that was signed into law by Governor Whitmer on February 9th of this year. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I explained when I was on with Paul last week is that at the circuit court level and at the district court level, these courts are created by law. Mm-hmm. They are considered statutory, and I don't want to confuse anybody, but they are created by law, and they have to be signed into law by the governor. Here in Muskegon County, I've been on the bench here now 24 years. I've been on
wow.
the bench.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, that just kind of means I'm getting old, that's all.
I feel you.
But we have been attempting to get a new judgeship here. The data here has shown that we have been what you would call underjudged by almost two complete positions. There should be, by the studies that are done, two additional circuit court judges in addition to the four who are currently serving.
Mm-hmm.
We've been at this for 15 years.
15 years.
Trying to lobby and get this taken care of. And we finally were able to break through. All of the appropriate entities gave their approval. And the new judgeship came into effect in February. I am running for that seat. That means that's a seat that no one has ever had before. Brand new. I am currently a probate court judge. I would move into the circuit court.
Mm-hmm.
My docket, which is currently family court cases, would remain absolutely the same.
Okay.
It would not change. And it would not change my status as chief judge of both courts.
Okay.
All I'm doing is taking a move, and it's not even really a move up. It's a lateral move.
Mm-hmm.
Probate court and circuit court are essentially on the same level. Okay.
Right.
What my move to the circuit bench does is it realigns us back to where our original plan for what our family court division should look like.
Mm-hmm.
That was from way back in 1998. And what our plan called for was to have two circuit court judges dedicated to family division and one probate court judge dedicated to the family division to make mm-hmm. up three full-time equivalent family courts. Three judges who do family court work. Okay.
Okay.
The way we are configured right now, that there are two probate court judges doing that full time and one circuit court judge doing that work full time. So our alignment over the course of years and appointments and elections and people coming and going has gotten out of, or we're out of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So my movement is simply to help put the alignment back where it originally was intended to be. Nothing else about what I do, who I am, where I serve changes.
Well, I tell you, if you, one of the things that I do is I'll go down to the county building. This is before COVID, and the docket that you guys have is insane. And we need that extra judgeship to do that. We have people, we got some questions and comments. Michael Anthony Smith from Houston, Texas, finally got at least one extra judge. Thank you for that comment, sir.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Broke through on that. So,
right. Let me say that. Good, because we wouldn't want to lose you in any capacity.
No. Bless her heart. Bless her heart. Thank you for that. So where we are now, and Brandon is a part of this process, is there is a level of turnover in this bench. And I've been saying this for the last 2 years on my show with PA. There's a level of turnover that's about to take place mm-hmm. that is unprecedented.
Okay.
And conceivably, we will have possibly three new judges in the span of a year on the bench at the circuit and probate court level.
Which is unheard of.
Well, that's a lot of turnover. That's an incredible amount of turnover. And to complete the circle, the third seat of which we speak is another circuit court seat. It was originally held, or it was last held by Honorable Tim Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Hicks retired at the end of 2021. That then allowed for the governor to make the appointment to fill his seat. Brandon was an incredibly strong candidate for that appointment. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed that he didn't get the appointment. I am certainly satisfied with the person who was appointed. Very, very well qualified. Good man. Will be a good judge. Was a good lawyer. There's no ammunition in the quality but I was hoping that Brandon would get that opportunity for a number of reasons. And that judge, who is now Judge Ken Hoops,
yep,
who I will swear in next Friday officially, has to, by Michigan law, stand for election to retain the seat.
Okay.
In 2022 as well. So that's why there's three elections going on in 14th Circuit Court by those particular machinations of the situation.
It just shows the age. I remember election time when Hicks got the seat, we were covering the election. So it's been quite a while. Guys, I wanted to talk to you because when it comes down to judgeships and voting, you see a lot of people voting on the front page, but when it comes down to judges, they kind of skip over it, don't think it's important. Please explain to people how important it is, because I'll tell you, like, on the Michigan court right now, if let's take they have a rule about the slip and fall rule. If I'm blind and I walk over to my neighbor's house and walk in a hole and I fall in it, it's my fault. Now, it's a crazy, stupid law, but people don't vote, they don't care, and they don't worry about the judgeships. Please explain why we should be very attentive on the judgeships and who's involved. Brandon, you want to go first?
Sure. So flipping that ballot over and voting for judges is, as you said, is extremely important. And for a number of reasons. The first thing is, when we talk about judges, judges have a distinct responsibility and power, for lack of a better term, to make decisions about the lives of everyday citizens. Mm-hmm. Our justice system is designed in a way that when there are disputes that need to be resolved, and inevitably there will be disputes that need to be resolved, we have judges that sit, and we need to make sure that there are individuals that not only can follow the rule of law, not only that will treat people with fairness and kindness, but there's a space about lived experience that is so impactful when we think about judges.
Mm-hmm.
Judges hear cases, their lived experience impacts the way they view that case.
Mm-hmm.
Their knowledge of community, their understanding of social norms, all of those things impact the way a judge perceives a case. Now, ultimately, every judge is charged with following the law, and every judge should do that in every case, and every judge should adjudicate a case fairly. But it's important that we have judges, just like other elected officials, in place that understand our communities, that understand the types of disputes that are coming forward, and that we can have a confidence in, right? Because if the people don't have confidence in the bench, that diminishes the verdicts or the decisions that come out of that court, right? If there's mm-hmm. They're just feeling that the judges are unfair, or this judge doesn't understand me, or this judge doesn't treat me with respect, then those decisions lose its value in community. So when we think about, you know, that factor, it's important that we consider that part of it.
Chief Judge.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's very, very well stated. Back in 98, when I had to run to retain the seat that I was appointed to, we made a point of emphasis, actually my little 3-year-old at the time, now 27-year-old.
Wow.
Chair,
wow.
Used to be, famous for saying, "Don't quit till you vote for Pitt." Because we were emphasizing the idea that until you see my name,
mm-hmm.
don't stop.
Right.
My name is, along with the other judge candidates, on the backside. So you don't stop until you see the name of that judge that has inspired you to vote for them, whoever that may be.
Right.
Don't stop until you see that, so that you make sure that your voice is heard. And one of the things about just society speaking, you know, judges, people have this idea that we somehow seem to think that we know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't. part of being a good judge is understanding how to require the attorneys and litigants who come before you to educate me about what it is that you are attempting to get me to appreciate about your case and maybe rule in your favor.
Hold on, hold on, Judge. Let's stop. And let me pass the plate and you preach that again, please.
Well, I would say that a judge who's doing their job, who's functioning well, has the responsibility to require the litigants in front of them, the lawyers or the parties who represent themselves, to educate that judge about the point of law that is at controversy before them. So it's not that we know everything. It's not that Brandon comes to you and says, vote for me for judge because I know everything. Mm-hmm. It's because we have an appreciation that we have a knowledge base that allows us to make a good, solid decision based on what you educate us about. And I have a saying, it's not original for me, but I have a saying that my decisions are not final because I'm right, but my decisions are right because I'm final.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Somebody's got to go somewhere to get an answer. Mm-hmm. The courts is where people come to get controversies and issues of disagreement settled. I'm not right. I'm not final because I know everything, but somebody's got to be final in making the decision. And that's what a good judge, a humble, if I could use that term, and appropriately rooted judge. Look, that's how you look at these things. And it's not personal. When people come into court, Brandon, as a prosecutor and soon to be judge, will say the same thing. When people come into court, the controversy is that particular moment. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. So when you leave, if you leave with the idea that that prosecutor, Brandon Davis, doesn't like me, or that judge doesn't like me, that's far from the case. Mm-hmm. We just have a responsibility in this judicial system to play this role. And it may not feel good to you, but it's not a personal thing.
Now, your role, we're almost at the bottom of the hour and we're going to go to commercial break at 2:30. But the role of election is a little different with you guys because some seats you can just cut a check and you're in the race. Not the judgeships. You got to go out there and get, I think you said 600, 700 signatures?
Minimum 600.
Minimum. Okay, Mr. Davis.
Yes, sir.
How's it feel now? Is this your first election or no?
This is my first time running for anything.
Bless your heart. Talk to me, happy brother. Talk to me.
No, the truth is that I know it's an honor to be able to be a part of this process, right? I know that my ancestors fought for me to be able to be in this particular spot. I know people like Judge Pittman paved the way. I joke about this, but my grandmother texts me every morning to tell me what day of the campaign it is. My grandmother, you know, is an 81-year-old woman born in Memphis, Tennessee, you know, who experienced Jim Crow South, right? Who knows what segregation is and looks like. And it's amazing to her to have a grandchild that's in a judicial race. So when I talk about this process, because a lot of people ask me about it, it's a lot of work and we're just getting started, right? It's a heavy work. It's a lot to it, but it's an honor to be able to do it. And I'm grateful for those who paved the way for me to do it.
Just a second, Judge Mayor, people are blowing up. Very true. Thank you for that comment. This one's, she's on, just unlike other parts of the nation, I dare say that we have some of the top judges, judge, period. She says, who are fair and impartial regardless of social class, job, or skin color. I'm so thankful for our local set of judicial system.
Wow.
Comments.
That's awesome, man. I need to sign her up. that's incredible. That's very, very much appreciated. Thank you. You know, I learned a poem when I was pledging the fraternity that if you can treat triumph and disaster, which is the same imposter, exactly the same. And people genuinely like this young lady think very highly of what she sees in our judiciary. And we joke about it all the time. There's the other side of the coin is exactly mm-hmm. the same thing. There are people mm-hmm. who think that this judiciary is the worst collection of human beings possible. And we have to look at that coin as the same coin, two different sides of it, and treat that imposter, which is those hyperboles, the same. That's what has to keep you rooted as a person as who's serving on the bench, that you can't get too lifted up when people think well of you, although you very much appreciate it, nor can you think too less of yourself when people are.
Because somebody's going to be upset.
When people are critical of you, what you do is you have to measure it for what it is, continue your self-evaluation, and always try to do what you think is right, because you have to live with this.
That's right.
You have to live with this. I tell people who come into my court all the time that you really don't know me. The only thing you know about me is that somewhere along the line, I got one more vote than somebody else who wanted to sit in the seat. Mm-hmm. That's all mm-hmm. you really know about me. So you have a lot of faith in what we do here. And by that turn, I think when you're looking at people who are running for these seats, people like Brandon Davis, people like myself, even that haven't sit in this seat, you got to look at what you can measure about character, integrity, philosophies. How do they carry themselves when the light's not on? Mm-hmm. What do you do when there's nobody around?
Wow. Wow. Hold on just a second. Yeah. I want to get this. Teresa K. Sanford Pittman said, amen.
Hey, that's my campaign manager right there. That's the straw that stirs the drink. Hey.
This is rich. This, we're at the bottom of the hour, torn in two. We're going to go to commercial break. And we'll be back with these distinguished gentlemen. See you in 30 seconds.
All right.
And you're back to 22. We are here with Chief Judge Gregory C. Pittman and Attorney Brandon Davis. Judge, guys, you guys are blowing up. So, let's see. We got this is rich. your wife, character, integrity, and experience matters. Thank you.
It does.
It's so, guys, talk about that integrity and experience and character.
Sure. So when I think about, you know, having been a trial lawyer for my whole career, and I think about the type of judges that I wanted to appear before, those three things really, really did matter, right? Their character and integrity. When, you know, integrity, like the judge was saying, is what you do when nobody's looking, right? Like that's how you make decisions. That's who you are. That goes to the core fabric of your being. When someone is integral, when someone has good character, that's a great starting point to be a judge. I think that's a key component of it. But that other key component that is, I would say, equally as important is experience. Mm-hmm. As a trial lawyer, when you go before a judge who doesn't have trial experience, you know you're before a judge that doesn't have trial experience. You know?
That's a rough day.
It's a rough day.
You know? And I've tried cases all across the state. I've been fortunate, you know, to gain a lot of experience. I've done over 50 jury trials, which is a large number, you know, especially around here. You don't hear people doing that many jury trials and been very successful as it relates to them. I've also, you know, handled over 1,000 cases just broadly. And we look at that type of stuff. When I go before a judge without that type of experience, first of all, they're still the judge. Mm-hmm. But but it makes it more difficult to try cases, not only for me when I was a prosecutor, but for the defense attorney. And but it's not just about us. It's about those litigants, right? It's about the victim in the case and the defendant. Now we're in a situation where the lawyers are spending more time arguing about rules than getting to the facts of the matter that come before them because of that experience. I think experience lets the judge not only know how to run a trial, but also appreciate the nuances of what's going on in different.
Wait a minute. You're going too fast. You dishing off dimes too quickly, Steve Nash.
Let me pump the brakes.
You're dishing dimes too quick. And I'm too big and to dunk. Can't do it. Break that down again.
Sure.
So it is very important because I've seen people come into court and just disrespect the court and don't get it that, you know, it's how you, the manner, how you look, how you talk, the way you represent yourself. And as Chief Judge said, the educating with the facts, it just that mentality that those judges are just out to hang us. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Davis.
Oh, no, this is your show. Interrupt me whenever you feel like it. It's no problem. No, I agree. I think that, you know, first of all, when we talk about the judicial system, oftentimes people in our community, they don't have a great understanding of it. They know that, you know, members, family members, or some of them have come before judges. They know the sentences have been given out. They know that sometimes those sentences don't seem fair, but they don't understand or know about those internal workings, right? Mm-hmm. So all of those things impact how we present in court. When somebody comes in and they feel like it's not going to be fair from the beginning, it's very difficult to be respectful to the court. Now, it's in their best interest to be respectful to the court, right? But it's tough when they're coming in with a predisposition that this is not going to be fair. When they're coming in with the understanding that they don't understand me, they don't understand why I move the way I do, or my situation that brought me to this space, right? Those factors greatly impact how people show up and how they present in court. But the point I was really making before is that a judge has to be able to look at the individual factors of a case, because each case has nuances. Every case is different. You can't rubber stamp a situation. So one person can be charged with carrying a concealed weapon, and someone else can be charged with carrying a concealed weapon. And what's necessary in those cases can be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
The type of sentence might need to be completely different. And it's a judge's responsibility to evaluate those decisions, evaluate those situations, and tailor a sentence that makes sense for that case, right? And that's why that experience, both professional and lived experience, is so important.
There you go.
Experience allows you to listen, to pay attention, and then to make a decision that impacts that person's life, hopefully to put them on the right track, which not only impacts that person, but impacts their family. It impacts their children. We talk about generational curses. It breaks generational curses and the way that those decisions are made, because now their child has a fighting chance. That's a big deal, and that's a big responsibility.
We're going to have to call PA and ask for another hour. Judge, you want to add to that, Chief Judge?
Well, this young brother is saying it like it needs to be said, and he's saying it in a way that certainly inspires me to believe that he's approaching this with the kind of wherewithal that you would hope to see as part of your judiciary. Experience. My father used to say there's nothing like getting your butt whooped to learn how not to get your butt whooped.
Wait a minute, we got it absolutely on that.
And that's experience. And, you know, if I can go back a bit, I've been on the bench so long, nobody around really knows what my time was as an attorney. Mm-hmm. And when I was appointed in 1998 and I went for my interview with the governor's counsel for the appointment, when we got done, she said, "Your experience by far exceeds what the people who are seeking this office with you bring, mm-hmm. and you're younger than all of them. Mm-hmm. And I was. But by the time I had gotten to that point, I had been a prosecutor. I had been a public defender. I tried everything from murder down to jaywalking. Mm-hmm. I served as a in private practice, including in the firm that served as corporate counsel for the county of Muskegon. I was assistant corporate counsel. Mm-hmm. I served as a magistrate in the district court. I served as in the counsel for Muskegon Heights Public Schools for a period of time. So we did everything from workers' comp and dog bites to class action lawsuits and full stop litigation on the civil level to murder trials, mm-hmm. in the period before I went for that interview. Folks, when you're looking for who should be your next judge, don't short on the idea that you got to tell me what experience you have. You got to tell me what you have done that prepares and qualifies you to come in on day one, because when they come to this court, of which I will be the chief judge, mm-hmm. I am expecting to hand over to that judge a full docket that is going to require them to hit the ground running from mm-hmm. day one. There will be no training wheels. There won't be a do-over time. Every person who walks into that courtroom from day one for that new judge who's going to take the bench is expecting that they're going to have a level of quality and service equivalent mm-hmm. to everything else that they see in this circuit. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be my expectation as chief judge of this circuit.
Got to go back to Houston, Texas. Mike Anthony Smith said, talk about not knowing a person. Growing, watching Greg, I did not think of him as a judge. Mr. Davis, thank you for relocating to Muskegon for legal justice. Comment.
Listen, Brandon, you had a disadvantage. I grew up following these guys around, man. That's Keeb. Keeb grew up over on Howden Street, block over. that's home.
Yeah, whenever people, because people say stuff like that, like, thank you for coming. I'm like, no, thank you for having me, right? It's not every community is so welcoming. And when my daughters and I moved here, it was like this had always been home. I joke with my kids to tell them they're not from Detroit. They're from Muskegon. You know, the activities they like are, you know, Muskegon activities. The type of stuff they do, it's Muskegon all day long. We became ingrained in this community because you all allowed us to, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I when I first met Brandon, I think, of course, I met him here in the courthouse. But when I mm-hmm. met him outside of this building, he was with his two little girls. And mm-hmm. I've never seen him in any other, in any other way since. That's the kind of you want good people to be a part of making life-changing decisions about people when they come to court. And that's what we literally have the power to change the arc of a person's life.
That's right.
Right. Right. Question. Meringue, didn't you also help start the Fatherhood Initiative with Kenneth Sanford?
Yes. That's hearkening back to a long time ago. And that was Pastor Chris Sanford. And yeah, we started a means by which to allow men who were estranged from their children and were involved in difficult court situations to find ways to overcome those barriers mm-hmm. that kept them away from their children, including some of the legal barriers. And we had great success with that. We were this program here in Muskegon was the template for a number of programs around the state. Mm-hmm. I am proud to have been the court administrator at that time, Pat Steele. We were the ones who really started that program and got it off the ground.
Okay, so it's your first time, Mr. Davis. This is not your first rodeo, Chief Judge.
I'm getting too old for these rodeos.
I tell you, running for office, I tell you, especially when you're losing, it's raining, and you're picking up them signs the night of, it's terrible. I've been there. 2022 running this year is going to be unusual because of the temperature of this country. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that. Speak a little bit about that.
I'll go first this time. Brandon.
All right, Chief Judge.
Here's what I would say to that. This is what I say to that. In my lifetime, there have been any number of different levels and areas of an environment in which we live. It is never wrong. It is never out of style. It is never, there's always a place for truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a place for compassion and conscience.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a place for justice to be done.
Right.
I don't care who is making what noise, where, about anything. And I refuse to be moved from that place of believing that there's always better, that we should be about the business of trying to find the better in each of us, even in our roles as legal practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
And that won't ever go out of style. So even in these very, very difficult days where we have so many voices, so much sound in the marketplace of ideas and so much noise, quite honestly.
Right.
We have to stay, I think, rooted, grounded, focused on those things. And to that, I would say, you better believe in something bigger than you. If you're going to make it. And that's something that should be considered as well. Where's your morals? Where are your principles? What do you believe in? Mm-hmm. Who do you believe in?
Wow. Let me put my finger up and walk out of the back of the room, because y'all speaking real good now. y'all educate, and I want our listeners and people that are watching the show that you can, this will be replayed over and over again. If you go to 103.7 Facebook site or M106, that you can watch this over again. I challenge you to watch this, because a lot of people do not know about the docket system, the judicial system, and this race. It's important to know, like you said, there are three races. Mm-hmm. You two individuals are not running against each other. It's very important that they know that.
We are not running for the same seat. We are not running against each other. And as my wife coined the phrase last night, and I'm speaking for Brandon and myself, make it your mission to sign our petition.
I like that.
It your mission to sign our petition. You can sign Brandon's and you can sign mine. Worry about the idea that we are bumping heads or we're canceling each other out or you got to choose between us. I am hoping that Brandon Davis becomes a colleague in the 14th Circuit Court.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that so much. Let me say this.
Another comment. Moraine, glad that they are not, because we need them both. Okay.
I appreciate that. Two things. First thing is, when we talk about the legacy of this court, of the judicial system in Muskegon County, you cannot say that without talking about Chief Judge Gregory Pittman. And let me be very clear. I would not dare ever run against Judge Pittman. Honestly, he has earned the respect that he has. And as I say often, I would not be able to be who I am in this community if it wasn't for him. It's no way you'll catch Brandon Davis running against Judge Pittman. Now, anecdotally, I was out getting signatures this week, and it was fun. I was, you know, talking and communicating, and I went over to a table at a restaurant, and they stopped me cold. They said, I don't care. This is, you know, these belong to Judge Pittman. And I said, I would never, you know, run into Judge Pittman. They said, okay, well, we'll sign your petition then. So, you know,
amen. No bad. You're going to have to get a shirt made. I am not running against Chief Judge Pittman. I'm running for a different seat.
Yeah, add that to all my materials. Well,
thank you for letting us come onto this show together. Definitely. Because we want to make sure that people understand that clearly Brandon supports what I do. Mm-hmm. And I support what Brandon is doing.
Thank you, sir.
Your wife is laughing again. guys, but a whole bunch of people are laughing. Good idea. Before the show, because it's 2:49 already, I want both you guys to know that you got an open invitation to come back, because it's important to explain, to make sure that people understand. And I would like to go more deeper to talk about, because you've been there. You guys have rules and laws and about sentencing and stuff like that that we need to talk about that people don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk to you about that, Chief Judge. They don't understand that you guys have, like you said, educate you, but there's things that you have to go by.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this. I want to speak from this perspective, and then I'll move and let Brandon speak from this perspective. The work that we are hoping to do, the work that Brandon is hoping to do, the work that I have done and hope to do through this next election, is not really very well understood, because it's a rare place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can walk down here and see on the walls, and you don't see a whole lot of people, because there have not been a whole lot of people as judges, period.
Exactly.
Here. So it's a rare place, and it's not very well understood. But one of the things that I want people to appreciate about this young man who is attempting to ascend to the bench is that he came here from Detroit. And he took on a job that, as a black man doing prosecutions.
Ooh.
And, you know, our, as a people, our relationships with the criminal justice system, I'll term it as complicated. Let's mm-hmm. leave it like that. It's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
We have been put in as people in some very compromised positions over our time on this continent. And for this young, splendid young black man to come here and say, I can do this work because I have the integrity and the wherewithal and the competence to do the work, yet stay in this community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mean, you know, move out to Ravenna or Houghton or, you know, out in the country somewhere where not to be seen. This young man came here and rooted himself in activities and in the church and created a wonderful group of singers. And when Friday was done and he was done doing his work, Saturday and Sunday, he was out in our community serving and being a part of this and having his girls with him. What that tells me is that in his own mind, he knew that he was doing what he was doing with honor, mm-hmm. with a spirit that says that I don't have to hide. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm doing some tough stuff. They put a case on my desk, I gotta prosecute it. Mm-hmm. I can't look and say, oh, that's a black man, I don't want to do that. That's a black woman. I have to prosecute that case. That's the professional in it. But right. That professional also brought a spirit and a belief in, I'm going to do this in a way that is honorable.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to show you that I believe that I'm honorable because I'm going to be a part of this community. Mm-hmm. That's the way I live my life. I don't stop going anywhere.
Right.
I don't stop doing anything that I want to do because even though I have to make difficult decisions, and even though you may have been in my courtroom that day when I had to make that difficult decision, I know that I did the very best I could. I did it with honor, and I can now hold my head high and walk amongst you.
Mm-hmm. Because Mr. Davis,
the way it needed to be done. I just want to say that.
I appreciate that, Judge.
Great, great comment. Mr. Davis, you want to add to that?
And it really echoes the sentiments of my heart. You know, a lot of people ask me why I became a prosecutor. And, you know, they just call it like it is. As a black man, they're surprised to see that I did work on as a prosecutor. And the truth is, when I became a prosecutor, I did it because I realized that prosecutors have a lot of the decision-making authority when it relates to a case. It's mm-hmm. the who signs the initial warrant. It's a prosecutor who decides if charges are brought. It's the prosecutor who decides what the plea deals look like. It's the prosecutor who makes a lot of the important decisions throughout that process. And what I saw is that there were a lot of people making decisions about people who looked like me that did not look like me.
Look like you.
I lived experience, and I knew that I could make an impact in the lives of people by doing that work. Right. So it gave me the ability to review those cases and to make sure that the cases I was signing were just and fair, that I was signing cases because there were violations of the law, not based off of any other factor that should not be considered. Mm-hmm. I was proud to do that work during the time that I did it for that reason. And I'll share this short story. You know, recently at church, there was a young man who came and he asked to testify. He got up and testified. And he talked about the fact that several years ago, he came in the courtroom charged, and I think it was a robbery case. And ultimately, he ended up going to prison, and it was my case. And he talked through the case. He talked about it. He said, you know, it was Mr. Davis's words, and it was Mr. Davis's encouragement that really got me to where I am today. And those are the type of factors that have me continuing to do this work. And it's the reason I want to be a judge, because I know I can make this impact on a greater level.
You know, I want to say one thing on that. Go ahead.
Let me get this. Ruth Keefe said, Brandon for bench. Guys, I the questions I'm getting, guys, if I don't get to them, I'm going to have these guys back. So it's important that, you know, I'm trying to get to all your questions. Chief Judge.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, the idea of this young black man being a prosecutor in Muskegon County, that's part of the evolution of our community. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is if you go back to where he's from in Wayne County, you walk into the courthouse and everybody in the courtroom is a black person.
That's mm-hmm. right.
So we are maturing. We're growing as a community. That's not an anomaly. That's not mm-hmm. an unusual thing, but you go into Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Los Angeles, wherever you go, black folks are putting black folks in jail.
Oh yeah.
Well,
and the probation officer is black. That's and right. the judge is black and the deputy that takes you away. So this is a wonderful thing. The other thing I want to say is, as chief judge of this circuit, nothing would thrill me more than to oversee, to be responsible for the leadership. I'm not nobody's boss, but I'm responsible for the leadership of this bench, to be able to say during my time, another African-American was mm-hmm. able to ascend to this bench. Mm-hmm. When I was appointed in 1998, one of the things that I said was that it is not lost on me that this is, I'm unusual. I'm first or a first. I said, but that doesn't motivate me. That doesn't move me. What moves me is that I'm not the last.
Yes, sir. Sad.
And here's our opportunity for me to be able to kind of walk away at some point here and say, I'm not the last.
Yes, sir. Listen, guys, I got to have you back. The questions are just insane. Okay, we got 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes. Starting with you, Chief Judge, give that shameless plug of how to contact you and all that information.
Here is the shameless plug. make it your mission to sign my petition. The most important thing for Brandon, for myself, at this stage of these proceedings, is to get to the level of petition sign that puts us on the ballot. If we don't get that, we don't, nothing else matters. And that's what we're focused on. Help us when you see somebody with our petitions or ourselves and you're a registered voter, please sign them so that we can be placed on the ballot. Then the next stuff comes. As far as I'm concerned, Brandon may have a different idea about it, but this is job one.
Mr. David, last word with you.
I agree 100%. First of all, thanks for having us. I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to talk with you and Chief Judge Pittman. The most important thing is to get on the ballot right now. And we do that by having our petition signed. So I'm coming to you. And I know the Pittman camp has been doing the same thing. So if you can reach me on Facebook at Brandon Davis for Judge. You can visit our website at BrandonDavisForJudge.com. Or you can text to 616-439-1630. Or call that number, and I'll come to you to collect your signatures. Thank you for your support, and your a vote for me is a vote for justice, experience, and compassion.
Let me say this, and I'll end on this, is that we always inspire our kids to be their best. You're looking at two individuals that you should look up to. I appreciate you guys. I want to thank you guys. We're going to have you back on because I couldn't get to one third of the questions. This will be replayed, and I'm going to thank you again on behalf of the 22 show. Good luck in your endeavors. God bless. We'll have you back. It's time to go, guys. You've been watching Torn in Two on 103.7 The Beat and M106. Go sow a seed in somebody's life. Take care and God bless.